Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Book of Proverbs, Comparisons in Life. Giving you the good and the bad, you choose. You choose how your life operates and how it is that you wish to rule and govern your own life. That's what Proverbs are about. Seventh chapter has to do with both the Zur and the Nekor, which is to say both the apostate woman, and this is a little tough on women, but that's what they nailed old Mystery Babylon, and that's who this is really talking about. So it is. You have apostates, I will say, coming out the gate in both males and females. But the word chooses old Mystery Babylon as the harlot. Let's go with it. Chapter 7, verse 1, and it reads, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." There's nothing more valuable than the Word of God. Why? Because within it is wisdom. Okay? Keep my, verse 2, keep my commandments and live. That means find eternal life. Not just a little short pull down here in the flesh, but I mean with the Father and kingdom forever and ever. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Now, what is the apple of your eye? The apple of your eye is the pupil. And what he's saying is protect my word and the law as you would the pupil of your eye. Now, our Father created these eyes so that they can blink in a nanosecond if something hits for that pupil. It's very well protected. And even in the great song of Moses, God would say that Jacob's offspring, he loves them as the apple of his eye, meaning he watches out for them as he would the pupil of his own eye, our Heavenly Father. So the law is that important to you. When you really stop and think about it, and when you understand it, it gets you everything. For within it is wisdom, and wisdom allows you to go wherever, however, and how far you wish to go. Okay? Wisdom will allow you to do that. Verse 3. "Bind them up on thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." That means in your mind. Memorize them as best you can. Nobody can remember all Scripture, all of God's law, but at least you can memorize the general flow of the Word, for the Word of God is simply a story about one man and his family and all people that come in contact with that family. And that family being the family through which Christ would come, of course. It's that simple to have the overall plan of God fixed in your mind, for it's a story about one man. Verse 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman." In other words, it's your family. Let it become part of your family. Let it become part of your kinsman. Hold it so close to you, if your mind fails, the tables of your mind, then tie a string around your finger if you have to remember. Or whatever it takes to help you log up and hold in your heart and mind the very wisdom of God. So that whatever condition might arise in your life, you can cut it, you can handle it according to God's will. And that's what's important. Verse 4, "Say unto wisdom," we got that. I'm absolutely a kinsman. Verse 5, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman." This strange here in the Hebrew is Zur. And Zur means an apostate. Okay? That means one of your own religion but has changed and lost the true meaning of the religion, but still claims to be, as a matter of fact, Christian. But they're not. That's called an apostate. And it's very dangerous if you listen to an apostate unless you're well-founded, unless you really have the law of God socked away in your mind, whereby you can't be deceived. Therefore, putting the seal of God in your forehead, whereby even Satan can't deceive you. keep thee from the strange woman, the apostate, and from the stranger. Now, this is Nacor. This means a foreign woman, like a Kenite, okay, which flattereth with her words. And make smooth talk or soothing talk. You want to be real careful on smooth talkers, okay? Smooth talkers. They can basically talk you into anything if you do not have wisdom. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, checking it out. Verse 7. And behold, among the simple ones, that would be the young or the unsuspecting, was what this word simple means. Somebody that's not expecting. And this is why apostasy is so dangerous. Because if someone claims to be a Christian and they're really not, the simple ones, it'll throw them off guard. They'll even listen to the apostate and sometimes absorb it. Why? Because they don't have the truth locked away up here from God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and they can be deceived. I discern among the youth a young man void of understanding. He didn't understand, had no common sense from God's Word. Just was kicking along in the world, okay? Verse 8. Passing through the street, this word street in the Hebrew is back street, so you get it fixed in your mind real good where he's at, through the back street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. And you know what the back street is? It's the alley, okay, most often. And he went the way, that's to say the path, to her house. Apostasy is a lot of trouble, my friend, if you listen to an apostate. And it can sound so very good. That's the smooth talk. And keep this, if you would, spiritual. Because many people go down Primrose Lane thinking they're on the right path. And they're being deceived. This is why the word simple was unsuspecting one, okay, in a youth with no understanding, common sense. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. What would that mean to you spiritually? The end of this age. You're coming to the end of the day, spiritually speaking. And that's the way I want you to keep your mind in gear that you absorb. This happens almost at the end of time that this apostate comes along. And the young and the unsuspecting ones can sure be snowed by them. Verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Oh, she was... it meant that subtle of heart means her real purpose was hidden from sight. Okay. Now, naturally, this woman being a harlot, and it's the end of the days, what are you thinking about spiritually? The old harlot of the end times, mother, sister, Babylon. Okay. And she will woo you. She will say, oh, I'm not a widow. I sit a queen. My husband is here. There's just one problem. Her husband is Antichrist. Okay. Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's restless. She's out hunting. Okay. And that's what Sister Babylon will do, is mass confusion, going everywhere to confuse whomever and whoever will. And loud and stubborn, restless, you couldn't do anything with her. Okay. Verse 12, now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. That's the way apostasy operates. Waiting, I mean, come here, let me talk to you a minute. I've got a new religion I want to share with you. It's a ha-ha-ha-ha religion. Or it's a this, that, or the other religion. Okay. Always, there's nothing new under the sun if you have wisdom. God's Word is complete. And there's nothing new that what goes around comes around. What is has been before. That's why God teaches by examples and illustration, so that you are suspecting, so that you are on guard, so that you are a watchman and you watch. She's on the hunt, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, that means bold face, said unto him, bold and kind of stern. Remember, he's young, he's unsuspecting. That's the way apostasy takes people that are young in the Word. Somebody that's really founded in the Word and has these laws locked in their mind and forehead is not going to go for this. But somebody unsuspecting, she'll catch him. Kissing with the great words of religion, it seems so holy. Apostasy does at times. Verse 14, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. I'm very religious. This is where you want to really be on guard. This harlot is even claiming to be religious. And that's what Sister Babylon is a false religion, apostates. So if you were not fully convinced, then that should have done the trick for you. Temple harlot, okay. Very religious, paid my dues and vows, I'm in good standing with God. Only you don't know who her God is. Verse 15, Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee, always making you so very special, okay, so very religious, really special. Listen, let me talk to you in the ear. Anytime someone tries to use sexual advancement to try to prove God's Word, you got a fake on your hands, all right? And don't ever forget it. Verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I mean, it's quite a place. You need to see it. You need to experience it. Her bed is right in the edges of hell, if you want to know the truth about it. I'm talking about Mystery Babylon, okay? The great apostasy. The great apostasy that you can read of in Revelation chapter 17. That's what this is talking about. Verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Ooh. 18. Come, let us take our fill of love. Let's drink deep, is what it says in the Hebrew, until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Boy, that's the way apostasy works. So religious. So all in all. And yet, again, one that would lead you right to the gates of hell. Verse 19. For the good man is not home. He is gone a long journey. He's gone till the new moon, is what the manuscripts say. I know he's not coming back. We have plenty of time. And there she goes. The master of the house is gone. This should remind you of a parable that Jesus would teach when he said he would go into a far country. And if I come back and find you with a suckling child, I know what's been going on. So that's why you want to be very careful. For our master, our teacher, master teacher, is on a journey. As far as he is on that journey, other than spiritual, to the seventh trump. There's a whole lot goes on at the sixth trump. And that's what this is talking about. The great apostasy at the end of the day. And the sixth trump is about as near the end of the day as you're going to get. And Christ is gone. And it's very simple. When he comes back, if you're with a small suckling child and he's been gone 2,000 years, what does that mean? It means you've been messing around. Okay. Spiritually speaking now, okay? Verse 20, he hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. I'm sorry, there's where it says new moon in the manuscript. He won't be here until the new moon comes to pass. Verse 21, with her much fair speech. Oh, it's sweet, it's religious. She caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him, talked him right into it, right out of everything that he had grown up with, and he become apostate also. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, that means suddenly, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, dumb ox, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Okay. He's forced. No question. Once you get into it, friend, you're in it. 23. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, flies into the trap, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Knows not that this gives it all away. This word life is soul, nephesh. Okay. That's what she's after, the old apostate, is your very soul. Friend, that is your eternal soul. What would you sell it for? A flock of lies? You would listen to some unwise person, an apostate, on an ego trip, full of religion, but it doesn't align with God's word? You could be had that easily? I don't think so. Not if you're wise, and not if you're founded in God's word. Satan himself is ordered in Revelation chapter 9:4, for to those that have the seal of God, he cannot touch you. It is written. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. You listen. 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Don't you listen to her. Go not astray in her paths. You don't need to go there. You knew it was wrong. You intuitively should know. 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her, old sister Babylon. Boy, I mean, the whole world wonders after the beast system. Talk about many wounded spiritually because of biblical ignorance. Verse 27, her house, this fancy bed, the fancy house, the fancy woman, the fancy clothes, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so it is. It means death. What? But you can't serve two masters. You can't serve the apostates and false religion and serve Almighty God when He has written this letter to you, a letter that a child can understand. To not be involved in false religions. Remember what the old girl said? I've paid my vows and I'm in good standing with God. You can trust me. Listen to me. Listen to my words. And usually it would start off with something. I had a vision. God spoke to me. Well, can you document it in God's word? Because if you can, it's a fake. God will never give you anything in a dream or anything else that cannot be proved by this word. Otherwise, you better check out who sent you the dream. Sour pickles or Satan? Because evil spirits lurk, and you don't want to get too familiar with them. Because familiar spirits, again, is another way to find the bed right at hell's gate. And you want to stay with the Holy Spirit. The teacher, our teacher. That way you can't go wrong. We come to chapter 8, which is one of the most beautiful chapters in God's Word. This is where wisdom speaks. It would be a cop-out to say it's in a third-party type thing that God's speaking. No, it's wisdom. Okay. And God letting you know how that wisdom can affect your life. How precious it is. And how wisdom can save you one bunch of heartaches. One bunch of trouble. So, totally new thought. I like to title this chapter, Wisdom Calls. Have you received your call yet? You heard from her? Chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? She calls out. And understanding put forth her voice. With understanding, can you determine her words? Can you listen? 2. She standeth in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. She's there. Do you understand what that means? When you're out in a maze, she helps you. She's there. She's not just hidden away somewhere in a precious place. She's out in the ways. 3. She crieth at the gates. That's where judgment is. At the gates of the city. At the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. She's there. Wisdom is supposed to even be in judgment there. 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Can you listen to her? You got time to listen to her? It is the difference between success and failure in life. And you can extend that life to eternity, eternal life, in other words, if you listen to her. You will find that she is the most valuable thing in the world. You cannot buy her with money. Cannot. But if you have wisdom, you can make all the money you need. In other words, wisdom prospers. But if you give a man without wisdom money, he'll get beat out of it. He'll lose it. God never gives anybody any more than they can take care of. That's why a lot of people say, you couldn't handle it. God only gives you what you can handle. And that's wisdom also. Think about it. Okay. She calls. She wants you to receive her. Verse 5. O you simple. Again, unsuspecting. O you unsuspecting, understand wisdom. That's common sense and shrewdness of the world. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Leave all that off and decide you want understanding and wisdom, is what you say, common sense. 6. Hear, are you listening? For I will speak of excellent things. You listen because I'm going to give you some very important information. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. It's going to be truths. You need to absorb them. And they're not just little truths. They're very important truths. Verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Any kind of deception I will have nothing to do with. I hate the deception. Okay. Her lips won't tolerate it. Verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. It's doing what's right. There is nothing froward, that's twisted or crafty, or perverse, that's evil, in them. You can count on it. That's wisdom talking to you. Verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth. It's simple. Child can pick up on it. And right to them that find knowledge. Just a little bit of common sense goes a long way. Just a little bit of understanding will go a long way to receiving wisdom. It's related. She's your kinfolks, if you'll accept her. Remember back in the very few first verses? 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. It's more valuable. Some of the most valuable things in the world is this wisdom from Almighty God. Verse 11, for wisdom is better, it's more valuable than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom will always protect you. Quite frankly, it's your circuitry to Almighty God. It is the way God communicates you, is with wisdom, whereby you cannot be lied to, misled, and that apostate would have no power over you because you wouldn't listen. You would know better. You would know the downfall. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. That's to say discretion. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. This word witty is an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means intuitively. I mean, if you have wisdom, you intuitively recognize inventions of man that are contrary to God's word. You know coming out the gate when you first hear it that that's wrong. And that's what wisdom does for you. Intuitively. You don't have to even give it hardly a second thought. And you know that's a bummer. That's not according to God's word. That's what discretion and spiritual discernment from Almighty God will do for you. It puts everything in its own little cubbyhole as far as your intuitively discernment of where it belongs. Okay. Whether it's good, bad, ugly, or somewhere in between. You could nail it. And you do it naturally. Why? Because you possess wisdom. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Remember back in the prior chapter, in chapter 6, verse 16, the six things that God hates? In 7, he considers to be an abomination? You're going to find out that wisdom kind of hates the same things. And here we go. The Lord is to hate evil. That's 1. Pride, 2. And arrogance, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. And there you have it. They're pretty well aligned. And they pretty well match up. What affects one? What God hates, wisdom hates. And you can count on it. So, there you have it. Wisdom will not, that froward mouth is a corrupt, deceitful mouth. Wisdom hates that. Won't tolerate it. Verse 14, counsel is mine. She will always correct you. She'll always give you counsel when you need it. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And wisdom is strength. Do you understand that when God gives you the ability to intuitively recognize anything that's going to cause you to slip, to know intuitively beforehand, what an advantage that gives you, that is strength. It's strength and power over Satan himself to have the knowledge and wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can intuitively bring to you and grant to you because you desire, you seek, you listen when she calls. That is to say wisdom. Verse 15, by me kings reign. And princes decree justice. And of course, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is one that is always righteous, meaning he always judges righteously. Verse 16, by me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. This needs a little bit of correction. The ancient manuscripts, where the word earth is here, eret, in the Hebrew tongue, eres, I should say, which is to say earth, the earlier manuscripts had it zedak. Okay, that's God's elect. So let's read it that way, because I favor the ancient manuscripts rather than the more, not necessarily recent, but following the old Aramaic. And it reads, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the Zedek, that is to say God's just. Why? Because their judge is God himself. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, that's to say diligently, that sincerely and diligently look for me shall find me. That's important, beloved. I want you to play that on your mind for a moment. What did it say? I love them that love me. That's the thing God wants from you most. So does wisdom. And those that seek me early, that's to say diligently, shall find me. It didn't say maybe you would. Maybe you could come around to finding wisdom. No, it said you would. And I believe that with all my heart, that if you... hey, listen, never be ashamed to ask Father, if wisdom doesn't come through for you, talk to him. Ask him for it. Have him show you. There's nothing he loves better than to teach and to help those that humbly ask for help. So, and that is love. That's what love is about, is helping each other. Following that wisdom, that diligently, sincerely, one wants to find. So, if you love wisdom, she'll love you. That's your promise. And that's the same promise that God makes. I hope you can remember back to chapter 1, verse 7, can you? Chapter 1, verse 7. What did it say? Chapter 1, verse 7 said, the beginning of knowledge is to revere Almighty God. That's where wisdom comes from. So, to love God, to reverence Him. And then, intuitively, all of you have experienced, when you've gained that wisdom in your life, you've experienced that thing that when something came up that wasn't plumb, square, and level, you knew it instantly. You knew there's something wrong here. That's God's wisdom putting you on guard. That's the way it operates. What a beautiful chapter. Hey, it goes all the way back to the first earth age, before ever there was anything, in the next lecture. Don't miss it. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the mark of the beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular religion, reverend, or organization. Let's don't judge people. And don't ask a question pertaining to the ways of certain religions, okay? We're not going to judge religions. We teach God's Word. God is the judge. and God alone is that judge. You have discretion and discernment. And past that, God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and never apologize for it. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need the number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. And what He wants in return from you is your love. He created all, not just people, but everything for His pleasure. That doesn't give Him pleasure is not long for this world, my friend. You want to think about that. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to get right into it. Jeanette from West Virginia. In John 5:28, will you explain this in light that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord? It was John 5:28 was a one-time thing, okay? And what it did to document that Christ was Messiah, and and naturally what 28 states is that the graves will soon open and people will come forth. It was a one-time thing to document that Christ had defeated death and had freed the prisoners. They were spiritual bodies. The flesh body was still in the ground, okay? They were flesh bodies made on this, allowed to be in this dimension, whereby it'd be like the old baker on the corner. He'd been down there 50 years, and he had died. They all attended his funeral. Man, there he was, big as life, a smile on his face, and waltzing right down the streets of Jerusalem because life had come in. Why? Because Jesus had brought it. It was a one-time thing so that man would believe and know that Christ had defeated death. Okay, Roy and Glenda from Tennessee. Question. If we were to come through this world age to be tested, if Adam and Eve had not sinned and not been pronounced to die, would we have lived in the flesh forever? No. It wasn't only Adam and Eve that sinned. All men sinned. Okay, and look around you today. If the whole idea of our fathers was when He destroyed the first earth age and caused each person to be born from above, that means to come from the Father through the womb into flesh bodies, born innocent, to make their mind up whether they would follow Satan or God. That was the whole purpose of this. So naturally, death and that would follow was prominent. But there was sin. Satan was in the world, so there was sin in the world. There certainly was, even before Adam and Eve sinned. Okay, Deborah from Kentucky. My question is, if someone has told a lie about another person to get that person in trouble, will God punish the liar? Should I pray for God to take care of it? I'm trying to understand why lies can be taken to heart. Is there a scripture I can refer to? Yeah, last verses of the great book of Mark, where it says, it's an idiom. You're not really supposed to do this. It's a figure of speech. It says that when you pray to the Father that you can pick up serpents and they can't bother you. It means you can pick up anything of Satan's and he has no power over you. You have power over him. Satan is the serpent. And it says concerning lies that you could drink poison. Now don't do that because that's not what it really means. It means that your reputation and your character is good enough that any lies that are told, printed, typed out, interneted, they won't cut butter, okay? Because your character will stand the test. So let God take care of it. He certainly will, okay? And that's what it means. Your character can stand the test. And Deborah, I'll bet yours will, okay? So don't just let God handle it. And if the person should do it in person, tell them, hey, document it. Okay? Prove it. Always nip that type of stuff in the bud or ask the Father to. Jeannie from New York. Did Peter commit the unpardonable sin when he denied Jesus? No, now you're not familiar with the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin you will find written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, you can deny, or you can talk against the Son of Man. That means Christ as long as he is a man. That was before he was crucified and transfigured. Then he became transfigured, and is his Holy Spirit that wants to speak through. And it is the Holy Spirit that you disallow or that you denounce that is unpardonable. And you would have to be one of God's elect for that to even apply. Because the Holy Spirit will not wish to speak through anyone unless they are an elect delivered up before the false Christ. Okay? Read Luke 12:10 and it'll correct you. Okay? B from Georgia. For months I've been puzzled by the expression, the silver cord parts, when you explain about death of the body. About a half a week ago, it occurred to me that when a pot is finished, a potter pulls a string or wire beneath it to lift it off the wheel from where it is formed. Is that where the expression comes from? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's it at all. It may have been part of the analogy, but what it means is the silver cord is the spinal cord. And ere that cord parts, you're out of here, okay? And the bowl is the skull. And it definitely means death of this body. That's the flesh body. But interesting. It does not hurt to apply an analogy such as that. I'm not familiar that a string or a wire was under the bowl. But then I'm not a potter, so there you go. George from North Carolina. Question, how is it that some people remember this day so vividly of salvation? Other Christians make mention that nothing special happened to them when saved. Are they saved or do they just think they are saved? I have a little spiritual discernment, but sometimes I cannot tell. Well, different people, such as I noticed you mentioned your daughter here, they have different appetites, okay? And some people, when God lays a hand on them, it means more to them because their appetite is different. But don't judge and discern too closely, because there are, I mean, some people can study the Bible 4 hours at a sitting and derive something from it. But most people can only sit for about 1 hour of intense teaching. And then they've got to have a break. Okay. And a wise teacher will never teach over 1 hour at a time without giving the congregation either to stand up, a break, or something. Because you're not going to do any good after that hour, because that is a mean average of about what people are capable if you're teaching intensely. Okay, if you're just playing games, well, you know, maybe you could play all day, but if you're teaching Bible and you're teaching intensely, 1 hour will just about cut it. So that's different. People have different appetites, so I wouldn't be all that concerned. And things sometimes. Some people have a more sensitive feeling towards salvation than others might. Charles from South Carolina. I know from studying with you that we are descended from the 10 tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains. That's the house of Israel. Okay. Is there any way to find out which particular tribe we are descended from? The little Abrahamic covenant booklet we have might help you and it might not. Okay, I don't know. I know the Bible says for us not to set off in dates. No, we're not, and we shouldn't. Okay, the reason being, we're watchmen, and watchmen always watch. I don't care night, day, or whatever. You watch the current events, and you align that with prophecy, and you watch, watchman, watch, okay? But don't set dates. It's very obvious why you wouldn't want to. We are given enough dates in God's Word through the days of Daniel and other to know we're in the generation. That's as close as you're going to get, okay? It's the generation, because the wise are to understand the generation. But the main thing is, every soul must be born of woman before the end can be. That's because God is righteous and fair. We're getting pretty close, I feel, but that's as far as we can go with that. Because in Mark chapter 13, no man knows the hour of the day. Not even Jesus Christ knew, only Almighty God in that dimension. Got it? Not in this dimension, in that dimension. Dolores from West Virginia. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Does this mean the saved or unsaved or both? My sister was never a Christian, and when she was dying, she said, "Oh, it's too beautiful." I'm sure she was saved before she died. Well, that's true. We can't judge people for people, okay? That's God's business. But never, at the same time, it's pretty hard for you to say she never was a Christian. She may never have professed to be a Christian, but what was in her mind and heart and body and soul, only she knew and only God knew, for God is a heart knower. So be real careful. I'm going to tell you something. One of the best men all around and best neighbors I've ever had in my life, far as I know, never darkened the door of a church. But he was a better Christian than most that claim to be. Fantastic guy. And it's one's relationship with Almighty God that determines. But all go to paradise. It's according to which side they're on. And then we have the millennium, where sisters can help sisters, okay? As it is written in Ezekiel 44, verse 20 through 25. Missy from West Virginia, I have backslid I have been a Christian for 4 years. I've been in and out of the hospital for 3 years. When I got out, I backslid for about 8 months. I gave my life back to the Lord, and it said in the Bible to do your first works over in Revelation 2:5. Well, I asked the pastor to baptize me, and he asked me where it said that in the Bible, and then he asked me if I feel I was away from God, and I felt funny and said no, but I did feel that it had been, that I had backslid, and when you do that, don't you have to repent and ask God to forgive you and get baptized again? No way. Nowhere in God's Word will you have it said that you have to be rebaptized. There's only one baptism, okay? And when it is the real thing, okay? But all you have to do is repent. That's the gift of Christianity. When you backslide, all you do is repent. And don't ever let any man fool you into thinking you have to be rebaptized. Many people sin. We slip away. But that's what repentance is. That's the beauty of Christianity. And somebody asked Jesus one day, how many times should we forgive? He said, 490 times, 7 times 70, if they truly repent. It didn't say have to be baptized 490 times. Just repent. That's all that's necessary, okay? Dave from Montana. I was told one time about a big chunk of forest discovered that was fossilized yet still standing. Is that because of the flood in Noah's time? Also, why is 1948 called the year of our Lord? And yes, your daily study, I watch, it is very helpful. Well, that's great. I cannot think of any, the Petrified Forest is pretty neat when you look at it. But it's much, much, much older than Noah's flood. Okay? And so I'm going to say that you're thinking about the petrified forest. Been there, done that, filmed it. It's quite interesting. And why is 1948 called the Year of Our Lord? When you say A.D., it's 2009 A.D., that's Anno Domini, which is to say the Year of Our Lord. Every time, every year, not only 1948, but every year, A.D., is the Year of Our Lord. Okay, that's what it means. That's what A.D. means. Where's Joy from? Let's see where Joy's question is. I have friends in some churches that read creeds, and I want to be real careful here because I don't want to mention any church that stated that Christ descended into hell, but I just don't know how. Well, he did, in a sense. He went to paradise to the side where the people were being helped that didn't make it. You can read it, and you don't have to read some creed. You read it in God's Word. And God's Word has it written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, that he went to those that were already in paradise. Why? Well, because they did not have an opportunity to repent and have their sins forgiven. So Christ went to those that didn't make it and gave them the privilege to repent, and many of them did that chose to, and so it is that God overcame through the Savior. That's God's way of being fair. Okay, David from Georgia, is there anywhere in the Bible that would document Satan no longer exists? Absolutely not. And has already been destroyed? No way. I personally know beyond a doubt that he does still exist, but I'm wondering why some would believe or otherwise. Well, I can't imagine. I've never heard that teaching. But example, Revelation chapter 9, so that no one would err, documents that Satan is still very much alive and will appear even here on earth during the sixth trump. And another thing is, the Bible even tells you where he's at. And when you read Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and when Michael kicks him out to earth. So he's very much alive, and anybody that thinks he isn't is probably going to be deceived and worship the false Christ. I would say that that's a teaching that is apostate, and will definitely align someone to worship the false Christ because they will think he is Christ. How could they think he was the devil if they think the devil's dead? Okay. Deborah from Texas. Deborah, praying is good, yeah, but you want to pray to God. You don't, you know, When Christ died on the cross, he rent the veil of the Holy of Holies from top to bottom so you can walk right in. You always want to go directly to the Father. And you want to talk to him. Why? He loves you. And he wants that love returned. Okay? Not through some other method or something. Directly to him. Lori from Nevada. I have left a trail of Shepherd's Chapel Easter tapes behind me in public places, waiting rooms, and so forth. Is this seed planting, or could it be overloading someone's donkey? Well, I'd say it's seed planting. If you felt led, so be it. And is it aiding Satan by purchasing cards and jewelry and so forth at a Christian bookstore that also sells plenty of rapture, Eve eating an apple, and other misleading books or items? Now, you know, as long as you don't participate, I wouldn't think so. You know, God is very understanding, and it is your intent that is important. not what someone else's intent is. It's your intent. If you're just purchasing cards or something, a good Christian card, certainly there's nothing wrong with that, okay? And thank you for your comments about the work here. We appreciate it. Okay, Ann from Arizona. Pastor Murray, I want to ask your help in being able to destroy the evil and something spirits that have invaded my residence. I've talked to various super preachers, and well, you want to talk to God, okay? If you want to get rid of evil spirits, you want to talk to the Father, not super preachers, okay? They really probably couldn't do you a whole lot of good. You want to anoint the doorpost of your house with olive oil, and in Jesus' name, order anything evil out, because as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, you have power over all, 19, you have power over all your enemies. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. You make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. Why? Because He loves you. Okay. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, when you bless God, He always blesses you. Most important, though, is this. Listen to me. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word, it's a good day. Even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is, I do mean is, the Sari.